Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So not only will new Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy retain Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator, but McCarthy said Moore will continue to call plays. McCarthy called offensive plays in Green Bay, and until now, it wasn't clear who would be the Cowboys play caller next season. So, Shannon, how surprised are you by this?
Skip, I'm a little surprised, but I also said it would be easier for Mike McCarthy to learn Kellen Moore's system as opposed to 25, 30 guys learning an entirely different system, considering that Dak Prescott has gotten better and better and better. And statistically,
you just admitted that publicly.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. But it's still a large Skip, if I give you an eighth of a pie, an eighth, an eighth, an eighth, and it's a full pie, only if I give you 4/8, I mean, there's still a lot left, right? So he still can improve.
I don't eat pie, so.
Well, I'm just saying I eat it. Now, anyway, so I'm surprised considering that. I'm a little surprised because I thought it would always be the best idea, considering that Dak had his best year last year under this system, to stay with that. Now, the question is, Skip, what system are they going to run? Are they going to run Mike McCarthy's West Coast system, or are they going to leave the system that was in place intact? Because if you leave the system in place, now, it was a no-brainer to me if you leave the system intact. But it would be seem strange to me that you'd implement Mike McCarthy's system and you let a first-year guy in the system call the plays. Now, maybe after the second year, after he gets a year up on his belt, he sees how Mike calls the game in this offense. Okay, you go from there. But I was surprised, Skip, but I'm not as surprised as if they leave the system intact. If they leave the exact same system intact, well, it would seem to be a no-brainer to me, considering that Dak is very familiar with Kellen Moore. That's a very familiar voice in his ear. And he had his best system in this offense. But, you know, it might be a little Jerry, you know, a little nudge. You know how Jerry, Skip, it's a wee thing. So if it's a wee thing, Jerry might have made a suggestion, since it's we, us. And Mike, like, you know what? That's not a bad idea, Jerry. So I think I'll stick with the offense that you guys ran last year. Kellen Moore did a great job, I believe, because a lot of people believe, Skip, it wasn't the offense that held the Cowboys back. It was the defense. So with that being said, they had a top, they finished number one in offense. I think it was a lot of, you know, empty calorie yard. You know, Skip, you believe that too. Deep down, I think deep down you believe that was
awesome. I do not believe that at all. Not even remotely.
So with that being said, Skip, I'm a little surprised, but if they leave the system in place, which I believe they will.
My turn. When I saw this headline yesterday afternoon, I had to read it three times to let it sink in, because when I glanced the first time, I thought, oh, they got that backwards, right? He got fired?
Wait a second.
He's going to stick with, wait a minute. He's going to let him call plays. He's going to keep him on the staff and let him call plays? I wouldn't have been more shocked by this if Jerry Jones had fired Mike McCarthy and announced he was going to coach the team next year. This is more shocking than Jerry coaching the team. This is pleasantly shocking for me because I love this whole concept. But I am shocked that Mike McCarthy went along with this concept, because I'm going to remind everybody, he helped coach Joe Montana. He did coach Brett Favre and call plays for him. And he did coach for the longest time Aaron Rodgers, and he called plays for him, except for one small stretch in which he gave it up just for a little while.
Right.
Just to see if they could change their way a little bit, you know, change their momentum.
Right.
Mike McCarthy's calling card is the West Coast offense.
Correct.
He's steeped in it.
Yes.
He grew up in it.
Yes.
The terminology is all his. He has inherited it down through the from Bill Walsh on, right? Through Paul Hackett, my close friend. And for him to say, sure, I'll give up all my offense to a rookie offensive coordinator, that was Kellen's first year calling the plays.
Right.
Kellen Moore has been a coach in the National Football League for all of two seasons. One as a quarterback coach, and then one shockingly, as the offensive coordinator.
Right.
And I was never sure whether Kellen was actually calling all the plays. Mm-hmm. I thought Jason Garrett, who's now maybe going to be the New York Giants play caller, it's possible. But I thought maybe Jason had a lot of input into it. We're not sure. I don't know that. I don't know about key plays such as second and two at the 11 against the Vikings when it's gone dak, and all of a sudden it goes Zeke, and they lose.
So let me
that might be Jason Garrett's fingerprints.
So how much did Jason fingerprints touch when Dak threw for all them yards against Washington or against Philly?
That's the point of this. You can't argue with the success that Dak had last year.
No.
And it was a quantum leap.
It was, yes.
He put up historic numbers. And I don't want to go through all the minutia of it, but what he was doing was staggering to me. And I think staggering to you, even though you dismissed about half of them as empty calorie garbage time yards.
Yes, they were.
And he just kept bringing them all the way back into game. No, they're not garbage if you get back in the game.
No, Skip. Mm-hmm. We don't call it a comeback until you actually take the lead and win the game.
All right, so there's only one way this happened. I got to give credit to Jerry Jones.
Okay.
Credit! Because this had to be a condition of even offering Mike the job in the first place.
Right.
Remember they talked about, we had like a 12-hour session that went into the wee hours. It probably went toward dawn, knowing Jerry and Steven and Jerry Jr.
Yes.
And they had themselves some beverages. And then all of a sudden, as the sun was about to come up, my God, I'm going to offer you this job.
Yeah.
Well, something had to be told to Mike McCarthy that we are going to keep our play caller, we're going to keep the same offense, and we're going to keep all the same terminology.
Right.
Because McCarthy acknowledged, I'm going to leave the terminology intact.
Yes.
Well, then we're not going any West Coast.
No, you're not.
This is what it was. This is the Jason Garrett offense.
Yeah.
Same play caller. And overseen.
Or Scott Linehan, however.
However you want to do it. You can do that. I'll give you that much. Now overseen by Mike McCarthy, but a condition of offering the job, which he was begging, I think he was like on his knees for the job because he wanted to coach America's team.
Right.
And he's been out for a year, and I think he was a little bit desperate because he likes the cupboard's not bare, and they're right there on the verge, and he thinks he could snap his fingers and take this team over edge.
We look at the jobs that are available. Carolina, Giants, and Cleveland.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, give me a choice. I can get the Dallas Cowboys with what they have.
That's correct.
Or I can get these other three teams. Duh.
So Jerry negotiated, and he said, Mike, I love you, man. I'm going to let you hire all your assistants except one. He might be the key one. But you're going to keep our coordinator, and you're going to keep our play caller.
Yeah.
You're going to keep Kellen more because Dak loves him.
Right.
Remember, 2 years, Kellen was the backup to Dak.
Right.
He was on he was third string, actually.
Right.
But whatever. He was on the team.
Correct.
And they clicked.
Yes.
They connected. Mm-hmm. And Dak trusts him. Dak's in a comfort zone with Kellen Moore.
Right.
And again, you can't argue with the success these two had together last year. So Jerry's saying, I want to go forward with this. I agree with you. The defense is what needs fixing.
Right. But you don't have a problem with this, though, do you?
No, I don't have any problem with it. I'm just shocked by it because, to me, Mike McCarthy's a made man. He has a Super Bowl ring. He coached 13 years in Green Bay, and I thought he'd come in with banging his fist on the table, Jerry, you can't do this to me. I'm better than he is.
Yeah.
That's what he would say in the interview. I'm just better than Kellen.
But guess what Jerry told him? You are a made man. You have a Super Bowl, but you're without a job. You want a job or not?
Correct. And who holds the cards there? America's team's owner.
Exactly.
The billionaire.
Exactly.
He owns the cards.
But Skip, for me, it makes perfect sense given how well Dak has played last year and how every year incrementally he's gotten better. Now, the third year to the fourth year, he took a gigantic leap.
Hmm.
It makes sense to me to keep the terminology and let Mike McCarthy learn the system as opposed to 25, 28 other guys.
What did we talk about on day one?
Yes.
I was dreading for Dak having to start completely over after the year you just had.
Right.
And now you got a contract issue hanging over you? And what if you're going to miss some of the OTAs?
So now if he misses some time, it won't matter.
It will not matter. And maybe Jerry factored that into it because they might be butting heads over this contract, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. So he just said, let's keep it as is. Mm-hmm. And now, what does Mike McCarthy do exactly? His input will be what?
Well, we set the practice schedule, time we leave.
All right. Is Mike McCarthy just a figurehead?
No, I don't think he'll be a figurehead, Skip. But when you're in a situation, you want to coach.
Yeah.
And the option is the Dallas Cowboys, obviously the Cowboys, with what they have, the cupboard's not bare. You don't know, we don't know what Carolina's going to do with their quarterback situation. The one thing you do know, the quarterback situation in Dallas is set.
Yep.
Okay, what's going to go on in Cleveland? Is Baker Mayfield, is he the first year Baker Mayfield or last year a sign of things to come?
Mike wanted no part of that.
Right.
And he wanted no part of that owner.
Right. And then the Giants. I think the Giants have some nice pieces. Their defense needs repairing because they got nice pieces on offense. If they can just keep Evan Engram healthy.
Yep.
But I like the skill Slayton Golden Tate. Mm-hmm. So they got some pieces. Saquon, the home run hitter. And old Danny Dimes.
Mm-hmm.
You call him Danny Penny sometimes, mm-hmm. Danny Chain.
Yep. Where is he at in your mind? Danny Dimes still?
Yeah.
Up for debate?
Maybe
still?
A nickel.
Maybe Danny Nichols.
Yeah,
give you Nichols.
Well, I'm glad he shortchanged him that last game against the Eagles. But hey, Skip, I was surprised too because you heard all this, West Coast, and he's hiring his own staff. But how do you go from I haven't talked to Kellen Moore, and so we'll see where that goes. To not only did you talk to Kellen Moore, he's on the staff, to he's the offensive coordinator, and now he's calling the plays.
Mm.
Boy, that thing happened quick, didn't it?
Mm.
That escalated quickly.
Mm. That's a line from Anchorman, which you do not know.
I do not know.
But
it did escalate quickly. Yeah. Skip. Well, we can see if we can find a role for Kellen Moore. Mm. Well, he might be the quarterback's coach. Because, Skip, why would you stay and be a quarterback's coach in the NFL when you can go be an offensive coordinator at college?
Yeah.
Because
remember, he did consider going back to University of Washington, his home state.
And he probably would have
a coordinator
if he was going to be a quarterback's coach.
Wow.
And now he's
calling. He went from being a Husky to, he's a Cowboy. He's it, man. Yeah.
I think it's
But
be hard
the thing
to go
is,
back.
Skip, this will definitely fast track him to being a head coach.
Maybe.
In the NFL.
Yeah,
because we see, Skip, he strings together another year like what he had. Because look at Joe Brady. Joe Brady went from quality control to offensive coordinator at LSU to offensive coordinator to the Carolina Panthers.
What a rise.
Now, he puts together a couple of years, and guess what? Joe Brady's going to be a head coach in the NFL.
He will be. He's only 30 years
old. 30, right?
Exactly.
I was gonna say 30
Kelly
years
Moore
old.
Is what, 29? 30?
Sure, he's right in there.
Right. So, within 3 years, one, if not both of these guys, will probably be head coaches. Mm.
Way to go, Jerry Jones. He finally did something right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with the Mike McCarthy hiring. I am great with keeping Kellen Moore.
Okay.
I'm just not sure what Mike's going to do now. Mm. Watch.
I give it 2 years. He's going to be calling for McCarthy's job.
Mm. Happy.
Watch it, Mike.
I'm afraid I'm going to give you 2 games and Mike's going to be calling the plays. That's what he does.
No mercy.
Derrick Henry has been a force this postseason, becoming the first player to have 2 games of at least 175 rushing yards in the same postseason. And both of those games were as road underdogs against the Patriots and the Ravens. Now, the Titans will face the same situation this time against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And good news for us, Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Dickerson is with us now. Skip has a new name for you.
Yep.
I got a new name?
No, I got a new name for
number
22 is now Eric Henry.
Yes.
Because he is the new Eric Dickerson, right?
All right, Eric, I'm curious. Will Derrick Henry be enough to really pull off this upset?
Well, let's start with this first. Let's look at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are not good against the run. I think during the regular season they're ranked 27th against 26 against the
run. Close enough.
So they're not good against the run. And the Kansas City Chiefs is not the same football team without Kareem Hunt having a running game.
Okay.
They can't control the ball. So for me, when I look at this game, it's certain players, you have teams that you have their number. Mm-hmm. You know those teams. You know those teams, Skip. Mm-hmm. You just got their number. And for me, that team was The Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they know.
I had their number. Bad. I had their number really bad. I mean, anytime we played them, I'm like, oh, I got y'all's number. I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get 100. You just don't know how much I'm gonna get. Mm-hmm. I think Derrick Henry has the Kansas City Chiefs number. You go back 2 years ago, he ran for 150 on them 2 years ago. This year, he ran for 180. I mean, and Tannehill had just got in there to be quarterback, you know. So, you know, it wasn't like he had a real quarterback to work with. But now I think he's a lot better. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. Mm. So for me, I look at this game as a game where the Tennessee Titans will control the football. Mm-hmm. They will keep Mahomes on the sideline with that pad in his hand. I mean, think about it. They went down to New England and beat Bill Belichick. What is Bill Belichick known for? Taking away your best weapon. Best weapon? Derrick Henry. They couldn't do it. Yeah. The Baltimore Ravens, a team that was unbeatable. Nobody could beat. Oh, no, nobody going to beat the Ravens. The Titans don't have a chance. They go down there and beat the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. So, to me, I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs in this football game. And
you're taking the Chiefs?
I'm taking the Ravens.
The Titans.
You got it. The Titans.
I'm with you, new guy.
You know what I'm trying to say.
I'm everywhere.
You're going Titans?
I'm going Titans 28-24.
28-24.
Okay. No, I agree. I mean, you make some very compelling points, but at the end of the day is that I just don't believe minus the turnover because they predicated that taking the ball away or having short fields. They got a pick six against New England, and they got 14 points off a turnover from the Baltimore Ravens. The question is, can you go into Kansas City minus those turnovers and win a game? See, I believe you need to get to 30. You look at New England last year, Skip. It got to 30, 30, they end up winning in overtime. Mm-hmm. Well, when they, Sonny Michel read, no, that was Burkhead that scored that mm-hmm. touchdown. But so I believe you got to get to that number. The question is, can Kansas City make it a game between Patrick Mahomes and Ryan Tannehill as opposed to Derrick Henry versus Patrick Mahomes? Mm-hmm. Because the Titans try to limit your possessions, especially if you can score. And that's what Kansas City can do. They got 28 points in under 10 minutes, which there are very few teams in the NFL that can do that. Some teams can't get 28 in a game.
Yep.
In two games, they got 28 in 10 minutes. They've got to force Derrick Henry. You got to make him check. ED, you know this. You got to make him stutter. If you let that man go 1, 2, 3 through the line of scrimmage, he's gonna fall for 7 yards. And he's going to keep Patrick Mahomes in it. That makes you get antsy. Mm-hmm. So now he'll start taking unnecessary risk. Guys get antsy, well, I got to make a play because I don't know. I got to make a play. And you get drops like you got last week. They started the game third down like 3 consecutive drops because guys like, they went down and scored. The Texans went down the field and scored. Okay. Next thing you know, they score again. And then they block a punt. And so now the anxiety level raises because you know. You're right that maybe got the Super Bowl. We one game away from the Super Bowl. This is what you work for all year. But I got the Chiefs. I believe they're going to win big. I got it 33-20 because I don't believe Tannehill is going to be able to keep up.
You better hope that's the score. Because you gave me 10 points.
I
got the Titans plus 10.
Oh.
And I got my man Eric Dickerson saying Titans are going to win it outright with no points.
No point.
I can't believe I'm about to say what I'm about to say. But right now, Derrick Henry is a greater force than Patrick Mahomes. Even at Kansas City, Derrick Henry is the greater force on the football field. And we've heard for 5, 6 years about the devaluing of the running back position.
Thank you.
Yep. Lottie told.
And all of a sudden, here comes this guy, and I've never seen anything like this guy. And you keep saying, bigger body of work.
Yeah.
And then he does it again, and he does it again, and he does it again. And you still could be right. Maybe he needs 2 more games to show you he's that guy.
No, Skip. I need a bigger body of work as far as sample size in the regular season. I mean, he had a great 8-game stretch. Or last year, he had a great 6-game stretch. Mm. But to be, you know, ED, you know you got to be top. You got to do that thing over a complete season.
I do it over and over, but you know, he's doing it in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. Like I said, he did it against Bill Belichick's football.
I mean,
and that was supposed to be a great defense, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what helped TD get into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he had a short NFL career, but you look at him in the playoffs, Terrell Davis. Yeah. You look at him in the playoffs, 7 of his 8 games was over 100, and the 7th game was 91.
And a lot of people knocked him for a very short career,
right.
But he's in the Hall of Fame. And this guy's on a Hall of Fame arc, I got to tell you, because what enlightened me the most was a week ago, this man telling me that he happened to run into Derrick Henry at a card show in Chicago.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you said, wait a second, I think he's like 6'4 and a half, 260.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, he's a big man.
Okay. This was a big man because this man went 6'3", 225-ish, right?
25.
Right in there. And all of a sudden, we've taken it up a whole nother evolution of power and speed, because when this guy hits the hole, there's burst to it.
Right.
And I've been saying it, and it hurts my heart to say it, this guy's better than my guy, than Ezekiel Elliott. He's just better right now. I mean, what does your eye test tell you when he hits the hole?
You better get out the way.
You better get out of the way, because he's going to carry people with you. He's going to punish you all game long until in the fourth quarter, you don't want to tackle him anymore.
Skip, you know who he reminds you of? He might be a bigger Brandon Jacobs.
Okay.
You remember Brandon Jacobs?
Yeah,
from the Giants.
No, I think Brandon Jacobs was like 250 or 60.
He might be bigger than Brandon Jacobs. Skip, I'm telling you, when I saw him in October when they played the Titans played the Broncos, and I'm standing on the sideline and I'm looking at him. I'm like, ain't no way that man 247. I'm 245.
But I'm telling you, when you see him, he just, I was like, dang. I said, you a big running back. I mean, you know when you're going down the highway, an open highway, and all of a sudden, you hear, dun, dun, the diesel truck coming.
Yeah.
What you mean? You better get out the way.
Yeah.
You better get out. That's what he like a big diesel. They say, here come Mac time. You better move on over because this is a big man.
Brandon Jacobs lumbered into the hole.
Yeah.
He just did it on sheer physicality and size and strength. This man can move.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you give him a crack, any kind of crack, he's got acceleration.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know what he runs the 40 in, but with the football
I think he ran 4.5.
But he looks quick to me. He looks like he has real burst in the hole.
Yeah. It was good. The guy got a 99 yard on his resume. He got a 68 yard on his resume. He got some long TD runs. You don't break long TD runs running 4.9.
No. Okay. Well, you get them DBs, they don't want to be in the front. They're trying to get behind.
To the side.
Yeah, get back.
Ask Earl Thomas.
Which brings me back to the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, who has become the most underrated quarterback in playoff history since that guy. Who's that number 12 guy who played for the Patriots back in 2001 out of the sixth round, Michigan? Remember that guy?
Oh, that guy.
Oh, wasn't that Steve Grogan? Oh, Steve Grogan was 14.
He was a little before that. That Brady guy. All of a sudden, this Tannehill guy, for whom I had little to no respect when he was a Dolphin, I didn't have respect for him before his draft.
The Dolphins didn't have any respect.
They dumped him. All he did was, by Pro Football Focus, have the best year of any quarterback. Now, you say, well, it's only 11 games. But it was 11 games. And Pro Football Focus says he was the best quarterback in football in those 11 games. Not volume throwing, because he doesn't throw many passes. Mm-mm. Quality of those attempted.
Right.
And for those who have forgotten, at New England, he completed only 8 of 15 passes for 72 yards, and they won the game.
Yes.
But he made the throw at the end of the game on 3rd and 8 from the 15-yard line to ice the game to another one of his no-name tight ends. And then he goes to Baltimore, and he goes 7 of 14 for 88 yards. But he made two throws that just knocked the lights out in Baltimore.
Yep.
One to another no-name tight end, and then one to some little kid from Holy Cross who can fly, right? So he's got weapons that you don't know, and the unutilized weapons are the two kids. A.J. Brown and Corey Davis are really good receivers, and they barely catch any passes unless you don't guard them, unless you get a little too 22 conscious, and all of a sudden the reason Ryan Tannehill is so hot-handed, not throwing many passes, is because play action, they're stacking the box.
It's a real play action.
They're going like 10 in the box,
right?
Because you have to, after a while, just stack it and stack it, say, we got to stop him.
Got to.
And all of a sudden, one of these guys is going to get loose.
Get somewhere. One-on-one coverage.
Somebody's going to get one.
Yeah.
And Ryan Tannehill has a big arm, and he's a big kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he's 6'4", played receiver at Texas A&M. And all of a sudden, he's looking like Tom Brady early on in New England.
Well, Skip, I think the thing is for Kansas City, they're going to have to make Ryan Tannehill a worker, not a manager. You got to make him work. Because right now, he's just managing the store. He ain't doing no work. Derrick Henry doing all the legwork, Skip. He's doing all the labor. So you got to make Ryan Tannehill. Okay, Ryan Tannehill, we got to get you somehow to throw 30 passes. We got to make you push.
If you can do that, you got to shot.
Yes, yes. You got to make him work. Because right now, he's just managing. Mm. He ain't doing no work, Jenny. Mm.
But he didn't have to because.
I know, but I'm going to make it.
The thing is I'm going to talk about the Titans offensive line. When you run the football, offensive line really gets into it. I watch them. I mean, just like I remember when we ran the football. They're like, come on, let's keep running this ball. Let's keep running the football. And, you know, like you said, the play action is really play action. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they have to come up and respect Derrick Henry. Right. They have to. And it's going to make – it makes Tannehill that much better when a running back is a quarterback's best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at that one that you talked about that he threw over the top. You look where Earl Thomas is. You look at the free safety that's in the hole because Marlon Humphrey think he has help to the hole because he's jumping outside. And the safety, because Henry, he had just broken him.
Mm. He left them looking at each other like, what are you doing?
Marlon Humphrey looking at him, bro, where you at? You in the hole. You the hole safety.
Where you supposed to be at?
Huh, but interesting.
That, to me, that's the problem with when I think about Mahomes, because they don't have that.
No.
They don't have – they rely strictly on throwing the football.
Yeah. And their short passes is the run game.
Right, that's it. And, you know, and okay, we have to run it because we have to, but they can't sustain those long drives.
Right.
You know, this isn't the Houston Texans defense. The Tennessee Titans have a good defense. I mean, mm-hmm. the Texans defense, I mean, when they were up 24-0, I think the big mistake in that when I go back to that football game is when they didn't go for it on 4th-and-1 down, I think, the 12-yard line. I said, it's different. When you're up 28-0 mm-hmm. opposed to 24-0, those 4 points make a big difference.
It did. So, I agree. So I'm with the greater of our two Hall of Famers on this show. I'm with Eric Dickerson on this.
Woo!
I'm going 24-21, visiting team Titans.
There we go. Still we
remember the Titans.
Okay. Don't worry about it. I'll call you Sunday by 4 o'clock.
I cannot help you. If Henry hits 207 yards, he would break the AFC Championship game rushing record, too. It seems like a big number, but he could do it. I mean, he could break that record.
Yeah, but there's one record out there he won't get. That 248.
Yeah, oh, that record.
You might eat it. They might give it up.
Let's hope not.
Thank you for reminding us. No mercy. Aaron Rodgers put on a show last week, passing for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns on his way to his 10th career playoff win. The 2-time MVP is 1-2 in conference championship games, and all 3 have been on the road, just like this one will be Sunday against the 49ers. Eric Dickerson still with us, but Skip, I will start with you.
Thank you.
How important is Sunday for Rodgers' legacy?
He badly needs to win this game because for 4 football seasons, I have had to sit across from this Hall of Famer hearing about how Aaron Rodgers is the greatest thrower of the football ever. And the harder I look at his playoff legacy, the more overrated it gets because it is full of holes and lucky breaks. Allow me to detail. Let's look at that first big wild card road run to his one and only Super Bowl, which happened to be 10 years ago. What happened? He went and beat Michael Vick at Philadelphia, not bad. And he beat Matt Ryan, who was still really struggling at Atlanta, not bad. Then he goes to Chicago, and he beats the Bears in the NFC title game while Jay Cutler is riding the bicycle in the second half.
Where did Jay Cutler go to school at, Skip?
Vanderbilt.
He was hurt.
He had a sprained knee, and he rode the bicycle in the second half while he was watching Caleb Haney. Remember the great Caleb Haney? Quarterback, Chicago Bears against Aaron Rodgers, who stunk it up in the second half, threw an interception to the great Brian Urlacher, and somehow survived Caleb Haney in the second half to get to a Super Bowl. And I give you this, he did beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. I can get into the whys of that game. But then what happened? These are his victories, his 6 wins since that one wild card run to a Super Bowl. He beat the mighty Joe Webb at home. Joe Webb was a receiver who was playing quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Then he, at home, he survived, luckily, the Dallas Cowboys because Dez caught it. We all know Dez caught it. And that's the break of breaks right there. Then he got to beat Kirk Cousins in a playoff game in Washington, really? Then he was the benefactor of the Odell boat trip game. Remember that at Lambeau?
I do remember
when
that.
Odell just crushed his team psyche by taking the receivers to Miami South Beach, where we're going to be, to get ready for a game up on the frozen tundra. Way to go, Odell. And then the Mason crossbar game happens at Jerry World against Dak Prescott. Dak roars back all the way from 21-3 down to tied at 31-all, and Mason crossbar makes the 2 damnedest field goals I've ever seen from 51 yards and 56 yards to barely win that game for Aaron Rodgers, who didn't play that great on that day. And then what happened last weekend, Seattle at Green Bay? they're without their three top running backs. And Aaron Rodgers manages to survive that game, which brings me to the games he lost at home. He lost to Eli at home when they were on their wild card playoff run to the Super Bowl. And that's the year that Aaron's team was 15-1 and they lost to Eli at home.
And they had a 32nd ranked defense. Mm. But okay, go ahead. I get your point.
He lost to Colin Kaepernick at home. Not terrible, but not great. And then he lost at Seattle in an overtime game in which he threw for a grand total of 178 yards, threw two interceptions in that game. He had a hurt calf.
Yeah,
right?
You know he's hurt.
Yeah. Okay. So bottom line, Aaron Rodgers is now 1-2 in NFC championship games with the one against Jay Cutler on a bike. And then again, they got obliterated in another one at Atlanta in which Matt Ryan beat him 44-21. So I'm sorry. That's a really overrated playoff legacy.
I agree with you, Skip. This is very important for his legacy because there are very few quarterbacks that have two Super Bowl wins and even fewer that has two Super Bowl MVPs. And I believe in that there to get to the Super Bowl and win it, he's going to have to play at an MVP level. And I think that's the thing that's holding him back. I'm not so sure, Skip, if he had had another Super Bowl with an MVP on his resume, he probably been one of the 10 quarterbacks that make the centennial team.
Oh, wow.
You know, they took 10 quarterbacks, and I believe he would have been one of them with another one on his resume. And pulling this off on the road, Skip, the thing that John Elway was able to become John Elway, the drive happened in Cleveland. Mm. And it got him to the Super, got him to his first Super Bowl. So when you can do things like Tom Brady, two of his first three Super Bowls, he had to go to Pittsburgh. So you get a lot more the degree of difficulty,
yep,
and the more credit you get more credit for doing it on the road as opposed to doing it at home. Now, where you try to shortchange old Aaron Rodgers at, I ain't gonna let you do that. Mm. His defenses, you know, he has 7 playoff losses, Skip. Do you know his defense is averaging giving up 36 points in those losses? Mm. He mentioned how Giants and Eli beat him. But he didn't tell you that the Giants offense scored 37 on that defense. Mm. Now, you mentioned Matt Ryan got 44 on him. Mm. Did you know Kurt Warner put a 51 spot on him?
Mm.
In the playoffs. How many games? Oh, now, you remember, Skip, Belichick defense gave up 40. How many points did he give up? 41 to the backup.
Yep.
Kurt Warner got 51.
Mm.
Matt Ryan got 44. Not Matt Ryan. Excuse me. Matt Ryan got 44. Eli got 30. And you say Eli. How Eli scored 37? Mm. Eli ain't scored 37 in the last 2-3 years combined. Mm. And he got 37 against one game.
Mm.
So this is, and I think the thing, and we all said, if Aaron Rodgers had a top 10 scoring defense, well, he has that now. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of pressure on him. You know, this notion that there's more pressure on the 49ers, there's a lot of pressure on you, Aaron, for the simple fact is that you have a top-flight defense now, which many said, had you had that in the past, you would have gotten to a little further. So it's going to be very, very interesting. But I'm still taking the 49ers. I believe the 49ers have the better team. The Green Bay Packers have the better quarterback. But even though being the better quarterback, it's hard to overcome better teams as LeBron James, because he's been GOAT for a while.
All right, so you know this guy I'm finna mention. It was a guy by the name of John Elway.
Yep.
He went to Super Bowls, three Super Bowls. What was he in those Super Bowls?
0-3.
Matter of fact, he got beat 55-10 by the 49ers.
42-10.
Redskins beat up on him. The Giants beat up on him. But what did he finally get that made him get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl at a late age?
Running game.
A running game.
Mm-hmm.
A running game. And that is what the Green Bay Packers have now in Aaron Jones. Now, I'm not saying he's TD by no means. He's not TD. But, you know, he gives him some help, something he's never had. When you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's always never had a lot of weapons. It's almost like he has to do it on his own. He has Devontae Adams. He has Aaron Jones on offense. This defense, they say, it's not a Chicago Bears. It's not a great defense. It's not a San Francisco 49ers defense.
Nope.
I mean, I feel like that I'm going to have to take the 49ers in this game, but I do believe this. I do believe that Aaron Rodgers will win another Super Bowl before he retires, maybe even two, because I think – I'd say one. I say maybe two. That's what I say, maybe two. Just like John Elway did late in his career. I mean, but you've got to have a running game. But in this football game, I've got to take the 49ers. The 49ers have, you know, that defense is playing. They've got 5 first rounders on that defense. You know, they coach well. You know, they play hard. They're at home. They run the football.
They run
I think last week they ran the ball like 12 times in a row, nonstop. So, You know, I'm gonna take the 49ers in this football game.
Who you taking?
Well, obviously, I'm taking the 49ers, yeah. And I'm taking them big here.
Whoa! Tell about you talking about Aaron Rodgers, this transcendent throw. You know,
I'm not. I'm saying he's not. His legacy is completely overrated, and you try weekly to defend it, and yet it's a huge opportunity for him.
It
because
is.
If he's the guy you say he still is, and you keep saying he's still that guy, which I have not seen all year because he is slowly eroded. All of his stats
stop
are
saying
eroded.
That.
They just have. He's in decline.
Stop
but
saying
if he
that.
Can rise above this game, he's obviously the better quarterback between him and Jimmy G. If we just go quarterback to quarterback, he should win this game.
Since you like to put stuff in a vacuum, I know a quarterback that Jimmy G is better than and still playing. But that's neither here nor there. Mm. Skip Bayless, it's hard to overcome when your team, your defense gives up 50-plus. It's hard to overcome because you just said the guy gave up 41 in the Super Bowl. You blame Coach Belichick's defense. Mm-hmm. Now, Aaron Rodgers' defense gave up 44 to Matt Ryan.
He blamed Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah! I've got a finger.
No, he's transcendent throw of the football. You got to be better.
Is Brady transcendent?
How about that game at Seattle? What? How do you explain that? Because, listen, Aaron Rodgers took a public beating from all the columnists up in Wisconsin for that NFC championship game they lost because they were the better team.
I blame that on some crazy things happened at the end of the game. I blame that on Mike McCarthy. I mean, your own side kick away. If you get the own side, Brian Bostic, he blew it. He was supposed to block, and he didn't do his job. I guess he didn't watch that that documentary that Coach Belichick had put out, Do Your Job.
Do Your Job.
Because he was trying to do somebody else's job, which would receive the ball, which he should have been blocking.
It should not have come to that. Aaron Rodgers has to be better than two interceptions and 178 yards passing. They were on fire coming into that game, and he did not live up.
He was just on fire against the Cowboys.
Just know that I wouldn't be shocked if he won. Now, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God. I mean, the only guy that could possibly do this would be Aaron Rodgers. But I
think he's going to be running for his life.
Yeah.
Well, I can't pick the Packers because I'm clearly from Minnesota, but I loved your storyline of what happened in 1967. And if they were to win and go back and face the Chiefs, 100 years, I love that.
Full circle to Super Bowl I, played out here in the L.A. Coliseum.
My homeboy going to be
there.
That's
storybook.
It's a done deal.
My homeboy, book it.
Yeah, good.
Can I
get
some
that.
On that? Yeah, you get some. Oh, yeah, you already know you get some.
Really?
Yeah.
No mercy.
Welcome back to Undisputed. So before we get to the Astros, Skip, I actually have to ask you about something that happened yesterday.
Yep.
Mark Cuban took a shot at you. Mm-hmm. Do you have a message for him?
I do. This is for Mark Cuban. I was made aware last night that you did take a shot at me on Twitter. I have no problem with that. You responded to my skepticism about your star, Luka Doncic. That's fine by me. But I do reiterate what I've said many times right here on Undisputed. You, Mark, are invited to sit right here in this chair any day, any time you choose. We can talk about anything you want to talk about, especially Luka Doncic. And I just ask you to please let us know when you want to be here because we await your answer.
We do.
Okay, let's do it. The invitation is there. Guys, more drama in the baseball world. Days after the Astros were hit with unprecedented penalties for stealing signs, new reports have surfaced that Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman reportedly wore devices that would buzz as part of the sign stealing. MLB released an official statement saying they, quote, explored wearable devices during the investigation but found no evidence to substantiate it. Despite this, players across the league have been up in arms, calling for accountability if the claims are true. So, Shannon, what is your reaction to baseball's cheating scandal? Mm.
That's a huge deal, Skip. It puts a big stain.
Yep.
This is like the steroids.
Yep.
And it marked a lot of guys, and they haven't gotten in the Hall of Fame, and there's a good chance they won't get into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Skip, his behavior after hitting this walk-off is not normal. You're telling someone, don't touch your jersey.
Yep.
All your teammates are on the field celebrating, and you go through the dugout, you don't celebrate with them?
Yep.
And you go through the dugout and he's holding it. Mm. Like, don't grab my jersey. Don't take my jersey. And talking about, oh, my wife, you know, last time they took my jersey off, my wife was uncomfortable. Man, miss me with that. Man, Brandon.
I am with you.
Brandon Chastain kicked the game, penalty kicked Skip and did without her sports bra. Mm-hmm. And you going to talk about your wife was embarrassed.
I am highly suspicious of that answer. Thank you.
Look, The problem that I have is, okay, I got no problem you punishing the general manager lost his job with the Astros. AJ, the general manager, the coach, the manager, the GM, they lost their jobs. Mm-hmm. Cora, who was a part of this, they said he's basically the mastermind. He lost his job with the rest. They say the mutuals, no, they fired him. Carlos Beltran, who was a player, the Mets says, no, we don't want any part of this. I'm trying to figure out how the hell the players escape accountability, because they actually committed the act.
Yep.
So, Skip, for me, this tainted. Mm-hmm. They got to put an asterisk by this. Mm. You put an asterisk by everything else. Yeah. Mm. You got. For me, this is worse, Skip, because even though they said the player was on steroids, you still got to have the hand-eye coordination to hit the ball. It's a lot easier to hit. Skip, I can play baseball if I know what the hell's coming. Give me long enough to, Shannon, he'll throw the fastball. Well, I'm going to start the bat early. It's going to be an off-speed pitch.
Yep.
He knew what was coming.
It is a huge advantage.
Yes!
Oh, especially against Aroldis Chapman, who throws 105 miles an hour left-handed. If you know breaking ball, you have a huge advantage, and you can see in the footage that he stepped up in the box. Mm-hmm. He set up. You know, because he knew it was off speed coming. And again,
look,
you still
look at this. Look at this, Skip. Don't grab my jersey. Don't touch my jersey.
I agree.
It's horrible.
It's a real stain on the sport. Yeah. Let me give you some historical context.
Please.
I started covering Major League Baseball and spring training for the Miami Herald my first year out of Vanderbilt University. So I'm going way back. I was covering the Los Angeles Dodgers right here in L.A. for the L.A. Times starting in 1976, so I'm going way back.
Okay.
And I want to give our younger viewers some real context about a game of baseball that is steeped in cheating.
Yes.
It had a long tradition of cheating that it embraced. It actually romanticized its history of cheating all the way back to Gaylord Perry. A lot of people won't remember Gaylord. He's in the Hall of Fame because he cheated. He gloated about, he bragged about throwing spitballs, which were quote unquote illegal, but he bragged about how he used various means and measures to doctor the baseball, KY jelly or emery boards or whatever he could do.
Right.
And that got him in the Hall of Fame. What? So early on, I was shocked by this culture of cheating, the long tradition. It goes all the way back to Ty Cobb. Mm-hmm. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, mm-hmm. said baseball.
Right.
So all the Coras who came up, the Joey and
Alex
Cora, they came up through this. All the Latin players, they were steeped in the tradition of, this is what you do. This is what baseball is. It's our national pastime. You look for every edge you can get. And during the game, the sign stealing, it was an art.
Right.
Because if you're on second base, you look in and you try to steal the signals of the catcher, and he tries to change his signals.
Right.
And the third base coach tries to lean in and see if the catcher doesn't cover with his glove, his left shin guard, because you can see his fingers that he's putting down.
Right.
Okay. That was all part of the lore, the romantic lore of baseball.
Correct.
People wrote about it and rhapsodized about it. And then all of a sudden it led to, oh, there's this new thing called anabolic steroids?
Mm-hmm.
Or it started out with androstenedione, which was a testosterone precursor, andro they called it, that was in Mark McGuire's locker, and it wasn't nearly as potent as real anabolic steroids,
right?
And then all of a sudden, well, if we do andro, why don't we do anabolics?
Right.
So let's go to this, because we get bigger and stronger, we can hit it farther.
Right.
And baseball turned a blind eye to that for the longest.
Yep.
I used to ask the people in charge, how do you let this go? It's just look at what these behemoths in the batter's box.
Right.
It's great for the game because they're hitting chicks, dig the long ball. Remember the Nike ad, right? Okay, so they looked the other way for the longest time until it started to be reported on and it looked bad for baseball.
Right.
So we went from a summer of love that I covered every step of, Sammy Sosa versus Mark McGuire, the great home run race. And I gotta tell you, it was great.
Yep.
It was some of the most exciting, entertaining nights of my life were following Sammy Sosa versus Mark.
It brought baseball back.
It brought baseball back. And then it just about sank baseball when it all came clear and got reported, right?
Because here's the thing, Skip. In that situation, the managers knew, owners knew, GMs knew.
Yep.
They escaped punishment.
They escaped.
They punished the players. In this situation, the players are escaping the
that
punishment.
Is correct.
And they're not doing anything to the people that actually did it.
Okay, so here came a new commissioner, Rob Manfred. God bless him.
Yes.
And the first thing that happened, we had a little scandal going on between the Yankees and the Red Sox 2017, and he puts out a scathing memo, and he says no more.
Right.
No more sign stealing, because now we're in the new age of electronic sign stealing. Mm-hmm. And we're also in a new age of social media. There's this thing called the internet, mm-hmm. where people can maybe overreact, and it can be a little bit of a lynch mob mentality, mm-hmm. but it can just run amok on you, and it can damage the credibility and the ratings of your game.
Yep.
And it started to, but he said no. And Mr. Cora said, I'm not, because this is what we do. We all grew up in this. We all cheat. If you ain't cheating, yeah. you ain't trying.
And Skip, I was listening to people talk. They said he was one of the best without having the digital equipment to help.
I agree with that. Right. So all of a sudden, Rob Manfred has had to drop the all-time hammer on this sport. Mm-hmm. And three managers are gone, and two of them were two of the best managers in the game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And a GM is gone who is, you could argue, he might be the best GM right. in the game. Right?
Now you're thinking, like, okay, here's Altuve. They told him to go away. Don't come back. We don't want to see you. And he turns an MVP. He wins a World Series. He's one of the best hitters of all time. So how long has he been doing this?
Mm. You got to ask. You got to wonder. And I told you last year during the World Series, he's become my favorite player.
Yes.
Now I got my doubts about him, right?
He cheated.
Okay.
But that's the skip. See, when you condone some cheating, the cheaters are going to say, well, then how far can I go? And they're going to just keep coming.
Yeah.
They're just going to keep coming. Because you say sign stealing is a part of the game, even though it's cheating.
Yeah.
They're like, well, that's a little bit of cheating. Let's see how far we can take it.
Okay. So Bob Nightingale, who I consider the best baseball writer USA Today, wrote this morning about a tidal wave of scorn, and it's on social media.
Okay.
We didn't used to have a tidal wave of scorn.
They got a mob mentality, Skip. They come.
Right. I think we're all complicit. I was complicit in it early on because I just kind of said, well, I guess this is the way they do it. I guess they just cheat.
What you didn't have a problem with, if you're going to steal the signs, if you can look down and says, okay, that's what that is, and you play these teams because you play 162 games. So if you play in the American League or if there's in your division, you're going to see guys a lot. So if you can remember that, okay. But they took it too far. Mm. It was just like New England. Skip. Look, if you want to go upstairs and you want to shoot from a mile high, so be it. You just can't do it from the field. Well, you just can't use electronic equipment. If you want to go back to now you look at Altuve's, you look at his home versus his role.
I agree. Yep.
Feels so
scary.
Wrong. It does.
I got to applaud Rob Manfred. He's trying to save baseball.
Yes.
That's what he's trying to do. No mercy.
For the first time since 2016, Conor McGregor will be back in the octagon for UFC 246 tomorrow night. McGregor will be facing off against Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who was very complimentary in Wednesday's press conference. McGregor has not won a UFC fight since 2016, but he still predicted a knockout. So he is back. And Shannon, what do you expect from Conor?
I know he's been off a while, Skip. He hadn't fought a whole lot in the last couple of years, but I'm going to take Conor because I believe Cowboy Cerrone is just dumb enough to try to beat a man in his style. Mm. It strikes me. He sounds like a guy that says, I want to stand, when he knows he should take the fight to the ground and win, however, but he said, I want to see if I can take a punch. Nah, I thought your objective was to win the fight, not see how much punishment you can take and win the fight. So I'm going to take Conor, but if I was Cowboy Cerrone, and like you said, it's his decision. He fight the way he wants. I would take this fight to the ground, but I don't believe he'll do it.
Hmm. I'll pick Conor. I will definitely root for Conor, but I got to tell you, I fear for Conor. I do not believe his heart is in this fight against this man.
What?
Conor made almost $100 million boxing Floyd Mayweather Jr. And when you have that kind of money and you got proper 12 going so strong, it's hard to get back in the octagon with a man who has wanted you for 10 years. Cowboy's wanted him for about 10 years.
Right.
And he finally has him. And I know Cowboy lost his last two fights and he's 36 and he's nearing the end.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to just about kill him to whip him in this fight. High pain threshold. He's had like every injury known to man.
Right.
Had an ATV accident in which he broke every rib and lost half his intestines. So I look, this is going to be a battle that I don't know Connor is going to have the stomach for.
Well, and Connor says, and Dana White, I said that Connor wants to fight Jose Masvidal. Mm-hmm. I think that's a grave mistake.
Okay.
If he beats Cowboy Cerrone in this one. And like I said, Skip, I just think the layoff at some point in time, if you're a professional athlete, you got to, you know, you got to do your sport. You got to play the sport that you're in. You can't keep taking a year off at a time and think you're going to come back and pick right up where you left off.
Mm. I'll be watching.
I'll be watching also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that is it for us. We will be back Monday morning.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.